Hello and welcome to the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. We're with you each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15. And our goal is to teach the Word of God, edify the saints, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, each brother rotates the speaking from week to week. And now, our message for today. Hello, once again, this is Mike Moody in the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry, and I'm pleased to come to you at the beginning of this series as we jump into a new book study and back three books together, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And before we get too far into it, we'll have a word of prayer. But it sure has been encouraging to come into a new year with a new study. And we trust that as we go into 1996, that this ministry will be an encouragement to those listening that know Christ. And as well, we continue to pray that those that know not Christ that could tune in as they're riding down the road or if you're at work or at home in Randolph County, that the Spirit of God would use this ministry to give out the word to those that need to know Christ. So pray along with us if you know Christ, and we would appreciate it. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do again come into your presence. We come into your gates with praise, just thanking you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to be servants of the Most High God. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done upon that cross to pay for sin. And Lord, that we can see him as our example after we know him as our Savior, that the word is there to give us direction, that it's light unto our feet and unto our path. We thank you, Father, again for Christ, and we pray for your guidance in this series we're looking to jump into today. We pray for the Scripture to be rightly divided by the Word of truth. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, again, our subject from the beginning of the year is 1 Timothy. And by the way, I sure hope you enjoyed those revival tapes last week with our brother Worth Ellis from Durham. That brother has really encouraged some of us that's in this radio ministry, and he has been a blessing to me personally. So he gave me some, and also Brother Jeff, a good portion of his library, and in that library was a great deal of, or a few tapes at least, from some meetings he's held, and we felt like the Lord really put on our heart to use those tapes. And he told us there's no copyright in preaching other than the right to copy. So he said, go right ahead. So we do appreciate Brother Worth for those messages last week. Looking forward to him coming in this area sometime this spring, actually. Now, we're in 1 Timothy to start with, but I'd like to give an overview of the pastoral epistles. And when we say that term, that's a term that I understand from doing some reading that became prevalent in the 1700s. The Scripture itself does not give it the title, the pastoral epistles, but when you take 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, we see that the teaching there is not only to preachers, but we see how Paul wrote to individuals encouraging them along. We know, any of us that know Christ and that we look to encourage others, that sometimes we, if we lead someone to the Lord allows us to be a tool. As God is the one that saves, but if we are used as a tool in the hand of God to lead someone to the Lord, then most likely we're going to want to encourage that person along. So we see how in 1 Timothy, we see that this man Timothy and Titus, that Paul was encouraging them along. Paul being an apostle, where today we have no apostles, he was encouraging these ones, and he was using these young preachers to help, as you could say, an extension of his apostolic arm. Paul himself was an apostle, but he used these men in helping with the work as he went on his missionary journeys. So that is an interesting thing to look at as an overview. We see that sound doctrine leads to sound behavior. We see that you could take many different sub-themes, if you would like to say, in these studies, and we see that sound doctrine would be one in the books to Timothy, and then it leads more so to Titus in sound behavior. But my friend, it takes sound doctrine in the Word of God to lead to sound behavior. We also see there are certain themes I've picked out after prayer and study, one main verse in each of these three books that would kind of give the overview for that book. In 1 Timothy, as we'll be looking at that primarily for a while, here is the main verse that we would like to keep emphasizing, chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." What a thought. 1 Timothy addresses how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. Now, of course, we're not speaking of the specific building necessarily. Of course, we're going to come gather in a building for convenience sake. But when we say the house of God, this is the gathering of the body of Christ, the local assembly of Christians. Whether you be in a two-story building, if you be in a one-story building, if you have a steeple, if you meet in somebody's home, whatever the case might be, if you're coming together as a body of Christians, as a small part of the overall universal church, if you come together as a local body of Christians, then we see that this is the church. The church is the people, those that are saints, those that are saved. Saints is a similar word from sanctified, being set apart. You're set apart unto God when you know Christ as your Savior. Now, having said that, let's just briefly continue in our overview and look at 2 Timothy for a moment. And the verse there we'd like to use for an overview of that book is chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." My friend, as we go through these pastoral epistles, keep in mind, we'll use that term, pastoral epistles, but these books are not just to someone who is in the oversight, you know, deacons and elders and preachers and shepherds, and you know, it's not directed only to them. My friend, this is to ones that are saved. Yes, we have a special area for those that are looking to shepherd the flock. We see that that is a certain area. God raises certain groups of men up to do that. But my friend, when it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," that is to everyone that knows Christ. And we could go on, as it also says in that same book of 2 Timothy, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I'll just say this. We'll really spend some time on that verse, but that verse, those couple of verses I just read, when it speaks of the inspiration of the Word of God, by no means is that only something that a preacher should hold to. This is for those that know Christ. This scripture is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's for everyone that knows Christ. And a man of God is not just someone that stands behind a platform. And I'll say this, I'm a preacher myself. By the grace of God, I have opportunity to stand behind the platform and preach the Word, come to you on radio along with Brother Jeff and Mark, and preach the Word. And it is a responsibility, yet a great privilege to do so. So by no means am I knocking ones that preach the Word of God, by no means. But let us keep in mind that these pastoral epistles are rich in encouragement, not just to those who preach the Word, but when it says that the Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable, my friend, that's to every one of us that know Christ. May we apply these studies, regardless if our gift is in preaching, or if our gift is in helping people, or whatever our spiritual ability is. Let us take these books and take the tremendous encouragement from it. Now, finally, our third book in this series is the book of Titus. This is another servant of God that Paul encouraged along, and a scripture that would be The overview of that book would be chapter 2, verse 10. Speaking, as we cut in the middle of the verse, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Oh, my friend, when we see that the book of Titus could be considered the book of sound behavior, it's easily to find a outline in this book. We see chapter 1, 2, and 3 with the different areas of sound behavior. So let us just go back and, as we have jumped into this study a little bit, we could mention there are certain words and certain phrases that are in the pastoral epistles that are unique in one sense to the pastoral epistles. Sometimes I'll mention a phrase that's found primarily in these three little books. Sometimes I'll mention a word that may not have been mentioned by the Apostle Paul until this point. And we'll take, Lord willing, a lot of word studies. We'll take words such as faith, and we'll see how this word is sprinkled throughout the Word of God, but it's uniquely used in many ways in these epistles. We see primarily in 1 Timothy that word is used in a unique way. We see godliness. Oh, we see that throughout these three little books. We see this saying, it says, a true saying or a faithful saying. And that is mentioned a handful of times where that little phrase will say, this is a faithful saying. And then it'll give us spiritual truth. Oh, I'll enjoy that word study. And then also the word sound. That's a cornerstone to this book as well. The word sound, meaning healthy, sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, healthy behavior, sound behavior. Oh, that's a tremendous, tremendous study right there. We see also the word sober, the word conscience is used many times. We see also a unique study on the word good, a simple word, G-O-O-D, good. But 19 times we can find 19 themes, at least, of this word good and how it's used in these three little books. We also see in this book's study, more or less a subject study, we see there are certain medical terms. That's an interesting study in itself. I'll quote a brother on that, how he searched this out in coming weeks. And he mentioned how it's possible, it's been suggested that Luke, who wrote one of the Gospels, a physician, a companion of Paul, may have had some influence. Now, we, again, realize this Scripture is all Scripture is inspired by God, but yet God used, it seems, certain personalities in their style of writings. So we see how Paul and Luke being companions, that may be why there's certain little medical terms used in his description as he's making the point. You know, illustrations and symbols mean so much. When we use an illustration, as we sometimes do on the radio and from the platform, it's to emphasize something that is much more important than the illustration itself. You know, like in the book of Revelation, people look at that and look at the prophecy there. Well, my friend, there's so many things said in there that is representing that which is so much greater. When it speaks of heaven, when we get there, it'll be so much greater than what we could understand from reading the Word. We cannot take it in right now. So when we give illustrations and take that from the Scripture, may we realize that God, who is infinite, from everlasting to everlasting, He puts things in terms that we as humans can grab hold of. Now also, we would say in closing that our outset goal is to see people saved and to see Christians built up in the most holy faith. So for Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody saying, contact us if you have any concern about your soul or any questions about spiritual things or a concern of a need to fellowship in a local church here in Randolph County. Thank you.